We're holding on Chof Zion Amud Aleph, the eighth line. We're holding Chof Zion Amud Aleph, the eighth line. Gufa, getting back to something that we said before in the Sugya. So we were discussing the question. We had a case of three brothers were married to three sisters. Those three brothers passed away. There are two brothers left. So we discussed what they need in terms of chalitza. None of them can do yibum because you have a problem like you have in our Mishnah where each one of them is his zakuka, but each one is a zakuka to each one of the brothers, but each one is also a chos zakuka, and we don't want them to be doing yibum. So we discussed one possibility is because yesh zika, because we say the fact that each of them is zakuk to each of the brothers makes it therefore that her sister is almost like a wife's sister, which is aser. Or do we say ein zika, but we say also levatal mitzvah yibumin, you're not allowed to do something which is going to prevent the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza being done with one of these women. Like this, if for example, if Reuven now goes and does yibum with one of these women, and Shimon does, and we said, let's say then if he dies, nothing, or the other one dies, rather, Shimon dies, then no yibum is going to be able to be done, and no chalitza is needed to be done with either of the other two, even though each of them does have her own independent requirement of yibum because each of them had her own husband. So we were discussing that, and we discussed then that we said that according to Rav, what would happen is the first two women who became widows would need one chalitza each, as usual, but the third one would actually need two chalitzas, one from Reuven and one from Shimon, because we're saying for each one of them, it's a chalitza psula, it's a weak kind of chalitza, in the sense that they can't do yibum with them. So Rav holds tzricha lachzor kol achen, she would have to go to all the brothers and get chalitza from each one of them in order to satisfy that. Then we said, according to Shmuel, on the other hand, we said it's enough if one of them does chalitza for all three of them. That's good enough. In that connection, we mentioned a din. We mentioned a different din that Shmuel had said, which is illustrated in diagram 142. Which now we're going to discuss in more detail in the Gemara. So Shmuel is saying, so you have two brothers, Reuben and Levi, who are married, each of them is married to two women. They each have a wife who is a sister of the other wife. So Reuben and Levi are married respectively to Rachel and Leah. In addition, Reuben is married to an unrelated woman, Hannah, and Levi is married to an unrelated woman, Esther. So now Shmuel says, when it comes to doing chalitza, cholatz la'achoyes, if Shimon now were to do chalitza with either one of the sisters, loy niftiru tzores, then we have not patted the tzores with that, and he's going to need to do chalitza with them as well. Because the zika with the sisters is weaker, because he's not able to do yibum with them because of the issue of achoyes zikukosay. So if you were to do chalitza with them, then it's not good enough. On the other hand, if he did chalitza with the tzores, he's gonna have to do two chalitzas regardless, because we have two different batim over here. We have two different families, two different husbands, Reuben and Levi. So regardless, he's gonna have to do two yibumim or two chalitzas. But so if he does, so he would actually be able to do yibum with either Chana or Esther. There's nothing preventing him from doing yibum with them, because there's no issue of relationships outside of the fact that they were his brother's wife, and that of course is what the Torah is matter. But he can't do yibum with Rachel or with Leah because of a problem of achos sikukasei. So now Shmuel is saying, in addition, if he were to do chalitza with Rachel or with Leah, he'd still again need to do chalitza with the tzores as well, because the tzores, the zika of the tzores is stronger. Therefore, it doesn't get taken away by the chalitza psula, by the weaker chalitza that's done with Rachel or Leah respectively. So Latsoris Niftira Achoyas. So he says if he does Chalitza, never mind if he does Yibum, we're not even dealing with that, but if he does Chalitza with Chana, then that patters Rachel, and if he does Chalitza with Esther, then that patters Leah. Similarly, So we discussed actually previously in the Gemara that one possibility is that Shmuel would say that a weak chalitza does pater her, it just doesn't pater her tzara. So in a similar vein over here, we'd be saying if Shimon does chalitza with Rachel, then that's good enough for her. But nevertheless, we still need him also to do chalitza with Chana, and the same thing with Levi's wives. Shmuel continues with similar kinds of things. Here's another example. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about in more detail that now midaraisa, the only two things you have with a yivama are yibum or chalitza. But midrabanan, you have two more things that were added. We talked already in the first parak about mimer, where midrabanan you're supposed to do kiddushin before you do yibum, and in yibum terms, that kiddushin is called mimer. So it's the regular kind of kiddushin, kesef or shtar. But in terms of Yibum, it's called Mimer. And what that does is that creates, Midrabanan, it creates a certain connection between them, which afterwards the expectation is that he's going to fulfill that connection using with Yibum, which then will complete things. But later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about in more detail what happens if he doesn't. The various permutations of what could happen after Mimer. Likewise, also, midaraisa get has no effect on a yavama. You need chalitza to break the zika between them. However, midrabanan, there is a concept that if he gives her a get, then it weakens the zika. Now he can't do yibum with her anymore. So by the same token, then he says, so suppose that you have two wives, let's say we're not talking about where one of them is the sister of the other brother's wife, but rather we're talking about just that there were two wives. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died, left two wives. Shimon gave a get to one of them. Later on, he wants to do chalitza with her. Well, chalat habalas again, l'nifter atzara. With that, Shmuel is saying he doesn't pater her atzara because, again, the zika with the one he gave the get to is now a weaker zika. On the other hand, l'tzara, nifter, habalas aget. But if he does chalitza with the one he did not give the get to the tzara, then he paters the one who got the get because once the stronger zika is broken, then the weaker zika is gone as well. And a third example Shmuel gives, chalat labalas ha-mimer. What happens if between these two women, the two wives of Reuben, he gave one of them mimer, he did kedushin with one of them, and later on he does chalitza with her, loy nifter atzara, then he does not pater the tzara with that, because now having given her a mimer, that kind of strengthens the zika between them. In the sense that even if he does chalitza with her, he's also going to need a get. He's going to need to give her a get to undo his mimer, and then he can do chalitza. So if he does chalitza with the one he did the mimer to, lo nifter atzara, then again the problem is that that's a weak chalitza. It's a chalitza psula, and therefore because it's still going to require a get, and therefore it doesn't pass to the tzara. Latzara, nifter, abalas a get. Latzara, nifter, abalas, chalat, abalas, a mimer, la nifter, a tzara. Latzara, nifter, abalas, mimer. But if he did chalitza with the tzara, then the one he did the mimer to as well is potter, because now he will still need to give her a get for his mimer. Fine, but nevertheless, at least the zika that existed, the stronger zika exists with the tzara, where there was no mimer yet, and therefore because she doesn't require a get, all she requires is chalitza, and therefore giving her chalitza patters both of them. So the Gemara asks, now let's consider that first case of the sisters. So what is Shmuel telling us? In the first case, where the two brothers were married to two sisters, as well as each of them to another woman, and we said if he does chalitza to the sisters, then he's not pater in the tzaras. And the reason is, the reason is because the problem between Rachel and Leah is each one of them has a zika to him. Therefore, via zika, each one is considered achos ishto. On the assumption that we say yesh zika, so we said that So we said before, Rav holds Ein Zika, Shmuel apparently holds Yesh Zika. So the Zika causes it that Rachel is considered to a certain extent his wife, and therefore Leah is Achos Ishtoi, and vice versa, Leah is to a certain extent considered his wife, and therefore Rachel is Achos Ishtoi. Fine, we understand that. Well then, so we understand why Chalitza with them is a Chalitza Psula, why it's a weak Chalitza, but Cholak the Tzoretz Nami Loin Lifter Achos. By the same logic, we should say that even doing chalitza with the tzaddis, with Chana or Esther, respectively, doesn't pater the sister. The havel of tzaddis achos isha bezika, because then what you have is each one of them is the tzara of an achos isha via zika. And we know already from the first Mishnah, actually, that any time one of the wives is an erva to him, then her tzara is also potter. Well, so by the same logic over here, given that Shimon can't do yibum with Rachel, let's say, because she's also a host, because she's a host sikokosai, then therefore her tzara, Chana, her zika should also be a weak zika, in the sense that he can't do yibum with her either. Before we said he could do yibum with her, but now we're saying maybe not. Given that Rachel is achos sikukasai, then her tzara is the tzara of an achos sikukasai. So the same way as the tzara of Ashes of the same way as the tzara of his own wife's sister. So if it wasn't a matter of yibum, if Shimon was actually married to Rachel. If Shimon was actually married to Rachel, then her tzara would be potter, or whatever the scenario is where his wife's sister is married to somebody else and he can't do let's say Shimon was married to Rachel and Reuven to Chana, obviously then let's say Rachel and Chana were sisters, obviously then he's not doing yibum with Chana because she's his wife's sister, and if there was another tzara, he wouldn't be doing yibum with her either. So by the same logic over here, he's not married to her, but there's a zika, shouldn't the same thing apply? So we should say that the zika with both Rachel and Chana and with both Leah and Esther is a weak zika, because neither of them can do yibum, and therefore doing chalitza to the tzara shouldn't help the sister either. The answer is kasava Shmuel ein zika. The answer is Shmuel in fact would hold ein zika, like we said before. Rab says. So the question is, well, Amar Shmuel yesh zika. Didn't we have before in the sugya about yesh zika or ein zika at the beginning of the second parak? Shmuel said over there is zika. Okay, the answer is l'divra ema ein zika kamar. Shmuel's din over here about the case of the sisters and the tzores is not talking. He's not saying I myself hold this. He's saying according to the opinion yesh zika, according to the opinion ein zika, then this would be the result. If we say yesh zika, then it's true he would need to do chalitza separately with each of these four women because neither of them would pat through the other. So the question is, well then let's consider. So why are we saying if he does chalitza with either one of the sisters, is it not pat through in the tzara? Let's work it through. So let's say, for example, we're putting them in the order Leah then Rachel. So here in the diagram, they put Rachel on the left and Leah on the right. But let's say that actually, well, it doesn't really matter the positions, obviously, but let's say that things happen with Leah first. Let's say Levi died first. So let's consider then. Bishleimet Sora de Rachel Leitiftar. So yeah, I can understand why Rachel's tzara is not going to be potter through doing chalitza with Rachel, because let's work it out. The kiven de cholatz lo Leah, the hoder cholatz lo Rachel. Once he did chalitza with Leah, and then later on he did chalitza with Rachel. Havya la chalitza de Rachel, chalitza psula. So now that second chalitza, that chalitza that he did to Rachel, is a chalitza psula. This is if we say ein zika. So if we say ein zika, so there's no problem of the fact that Rachel and Leah are sisters. But once he did chalitza we're saying that there's no problem with them as being sisters until chalitza is done. Namely, if we say ein zika, there's no problem of them being achos sikukosei because we don't care about that. If we say ein zika, but there still is a problem of achos chalutzosei. there still is a problem that if he did chalitza with a certain woman, then her sister is also to him. So when he does chalitza with Leah, and then he does chalitza with Rachel, habila chalitza de Rachel, chalitza psula. So now the one with Rachel is a chalitza psula because he wouldn't have been able to do yibum with her because of that iser of achos chalutzase. Because again, the Chachamim treated chalutzase for this purpose as if she had been his wife and then divorced her, where therefore, just like a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister as long as his ex-wife is alive, the same way over here, we would say he's not allowed to marry his chalutza's sister as long as she's alive. So that explains why Rachel is the chalitza psula. But if you're saying ein zika, meaning that when he did chalitza with Leah, there was no problem in the first place. He could have even done yibum with Leah. Rashi says he could have done yibum with her. One second. Then in that case, Leah's tzara Esther should be completely potter because a chalitza ma'ula was done. Now Rashi says that actually Shimon could have even done yibum with Leah, because if we say ein zika, there's nothing preventing him from doing yibum with Leah, because so what, Rachel's her sister, is not considered achos sikukasai, we don't care about zika. Tosfos says that not. The fact is, even if we say ein zika, we still say, as we said at the beginning of the perek, osu levatol mitzvas yibamin, you're not allowed to do something which is going to prevent yibum from taking place with another woman, and here, by doing yibum with Leah, he's preventing doing anything with Rachel, because as soon as he marries Leah, then Rachel becomes achos ishtoi and is off limits to him. So rather, Tosfos says, okay, that's not reason enough. Tosfos discussed before on Chavav Amud Beis that we don't always say. Rashi had made the general rule: whenever yibum is not possible, then the chalitza that's being done in place of that yibum is called chalitza psula. Tosfos disagrees and says only when it's something that has directly to do with the matter of yibum, not when it's because of a side thing. So over here, only by achos sikukosoi and an achos chalutzosoi and other such things are considered because the zika itself has been weakened. Where it's not that the zika has been weakened, but there are other issues, we don't call that chalitza psola. So Tosfos says it's not that he could have done yibum with Leah, but nevertheless, it's not that the zika has been weakened. If he can't marry Leah because of a side thing, also levatul mitzvah yibamin, that's not reason enough to consider that a chalitza psula. So that's what the Gemara is asking then. So at least when he does, so if we say yesh zika, then so either way, whether we say yesh zika or ain zika, we seem to have a problem with Shmuel's statement. If we say yesh zika, then even doing chalitza with one of the tzoreis shouldn't help the sister, because the tzoreis themselves are also as tzoras achos sikukasai, where you can't do yibum with them. And if we say ein zika, then why are we saying that Leah's tzora should have a problem? When he did chalitza with Leah, that was a fully valid chalitza. According to Rashi, even to the extent that he could have done yibum with her. According to Tosfos, fine, he couldn't have done yibum with her, but it's still considered a chalitza mu'ula, because the impediment is not something that weakened the zika, per se. So that's the question. Tzora de Leah tiftar. So Leah's tzora should be potter on that basis, because when he did a chalitza with Leah, that was the best possible chalitza. And the answer is, you're right. The Gemara says, "My lo niftu et tzoras." Nami dekamer. You know what? When Shmuel says that tzoras in plural are not potter, he means that tzora de Rachel. He doesn't mean both tzoras. Leah's tzora, which was the where we did chalitza first with Leah, would be fine. What we mean is Rachel's tzora is still not in good shape because of that. So even though the scenario would be he did chalitza with Leah. Now Reuven died, and he did chalitza with Rachel. Still doesn't help Chana, and he's going to need to do chalitza with her as well. So the Gemara says, "V'hat tzorois kamar." What do you mean? He said tzorois in plural means both Rachel and Leah's tzorois. Okay, the Gemara says tzorois to Alma. It means other tzorois it means, in other words, in general, tzorois to Alma. In general, any case where you would have like that, then the tzora is not going to be pastored by her sister. But specifically, we would be saying if we say ein zika, then it would mean that we're saying one sara in each of these, one sara in each pair like this. But altogether, when you consider all the cases in the world where it might happen like that, then you can speak of sara is plural. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, so then what do you, so what are you telling me then? Now Shmuel had said in that case, if you do chalitza with the tzara, then the sister is potter. So continue our scenario over here. So he did chalitza with Leah. Fine. That took care of Leah and of Esther. Now we're saying if he were to go and do chalitza with Chana, then we're saying it would potter Rochel as well. Why? Ba'atzaras Rochel mi miftira? Why? Why would Rochel be potter? Because he did chalitza with her tzara. V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in the next parak, also Adam, but Saras Kroivas Chalutzosai. That another Xeda the Chachamim made is if you have the relative of his chalutza, so let's say you have his chalutza, so his chalutza, let's say, had a sister, or there's one or two other relationships that we're going to talk about there on Daf Mem in this connection. So if he has, so let's say her sister. So if his chalutza has a sister, and that sister has a tzara, then he's also to marry that tzara midrabanan. Later on Daf Mem, we'll talk about the Daf Mem and the top of Mem Aleph. We'll talk about the reason for it. The reason boils down to that when a woman goes for chalitza, then she tends to take a close relative, such as her sister, along, and therefore people don't necessarily realize which one had the chalitza. So therefore, if he marries her tzara, people are going to think that he's allowed to marry the tzara of his chalitza. So now let's consider. This is the exact case we have over here, because Leah he did chalitza with, Rochel is her sister, Chana is her tzara. Well, we're saying over there that Chana is also off limits to him, midrabanan. So therefore, so how does it help to do chalitza with Chana and pater Rochel? Both Rochel and Chana are also to him in different ways. So the fact is he can't do yibum with either one of them. So the answer is Shmuel nami hischo v'lo hischo ka'amar. So you're right, actually. Shmuel is saying what Shmuel is talking about is when he began with one set of women versus he began with the other set. Which means, in other words, that now, so Tosfos says, now the Gemara is changing its mind on what Shmuel holds. Before we said that Shmuel himself had said in the sugya of Yesh Zika or Ein Zika back on Daf Yud Zayin Yud Ches, Shmuel had said over there Yesh Zika. So first we wanted to say in our Gemara over here that our discussion is going according to the opinion Ein Zika, because if we said Yesh Zika, then we don't understand how each one of these women is either a sister or a tzara of is either a sister of his skoka or a tzara of the sister of his skoka, and either one of them is equally also to him. Now we're changing our mind, and we're saying that Shmuel in fact does hold that Yesh Zika. So not that, like we have to say before, that Shmuel was talking before that he himself holds Yesh Zika, but our scenario over here is according to the opinion Ein Zika. No, we can say that our discussion over here is in fact on the assumption that there is Zika. So what we're saying is Hischo v'lo Hischo ka'amar. He's talking about where you began with. If you began chalitza with one group versus you began with the other group, namely hischo ba'achoyes lo yigma b'tzores. So what we mean is, if he started by doing chalitza to one of the sisters, if he did chalitza to Leah, then indeed the next one he does chalitza with. So now, by having done chalitza to Leah, he's now taking care of Leah and Esther. Now he should not continue by doing chalitza with Chana, who is the tzara of Rochel, Reuben's wife, because doing that is not going to pater Rochel. And the reason is it's none. Also, Adam Betzaras Krevas Chalutzase, precisely for the reason that we just said. Rochel is the relative, is the sister of his chalutza. Chana is her tzara, and she's equally well also to him. So therefore, doing chalitza with her is not going to help Rochel. But Shmuel is continuing. If he started with the tzoros, then he's allowed to continue. Then he's allowed to continue even with one of the sisters. So if he did chalitza to Esther, and with that he patered Leah as well, now at that point, when he goes to Reuben's wives, he would be equally allowed to do chalitza with Rachel or with Hannah, because neither one of them is any more off limits to him than the other. Because he didn't do chalitza with Leah herself, he did chalitza with Esther. So Rachel is not the sister of his chalitza, and Hannah is not the tnan. We learn in that same mission, muta adam bekroivas tzoras chalitza. Now a man is allowed to marry the relative of the tzora of his chalitza. So we have to distinguish between the tzora of the relative of his chalitza and the relative of the tzora of his chalitza. So, in other words, in our example over here, tzoras kroivas chalutzosoi would be, well, so that's actually, we have the next diagram will help illustrate this a little better. So if we have Reuben and Shimon, we start with Reuben and Shimon. Shimon has two wives. One of those wives has a daughter from a different marriage named Esther. So now the sister of Leah marries Rachel, marries an unrelated man, David, who also has another wife, Miriam. So now when Shimon dies and Reuben does chalitza with Leah, so now let's see, Leah is his chalitza. Reuben is the Rachel, rather. So Leah is his chalutza. Rachel is the sister of his chalutza. So far, both of those are osir. So now Miriam is the tzara of the relative of his chalutza. So Miriam would be osir to Reuben as well. If David dies and Miriam wants to remarry, she can't remarry Reuben. She can't marry Reuben because she is Tzoras kroivas chalutza. So you have his chalutza is Leah, her relative is Rachel, and her tzara is Miriam. That's also. On the other hand, for example, Reuben would be allowed to marry Esther he'd be allowed to marry Hannah, for that matter, because they're only the, so Hannah is the tzara of his chalutza, and Esther is the relative of the tzara of his chalutza. That kind of thing is mutter, because the Gemara explains over there when we discuss that point on Daf Mem, then the Gemara is going to point out there's no possibility of confusing them when Leah goes to do chalitza. She's not going to bring her tzara Hannah along with her, so therefore we have no reason to be concerned that people are going to be confused between one tzara and another. Actually, I guess he couldn't. Actually, I guess Chana maybe might not be mutter to him because after all, once he did chalitza with Leah, then the zika with Chana goes away as well, and that she's after all his brother's wife. But Esther would certainly be mutter to him because she's only the relative of the tzara of his chalitza since he did chalitza with Leah. So applying that to our Gemara over here. So what Shmuel is saying is, in the previous diagram, in the previous scenario, so if Shimon had done chalitza with Leah, so now that creates a problem on Rachel, because that creates a problem not only on Rachel, but also Chana, because Rachel now is the sister of his chalitza, and Chana is the tzara of the sister of his chalitza, which is also Dirabon. So now, therefore, if he does chalitza with either one of them, Rachel or Chana, it's not patering the other one. On the other hand, if he does chalitza with Esther, and thereby pater's Leah, so then there's no problem on Rachel or on Chana, because Rachel is the relative of the tzara of his chalitza, Esther being his chalitza, Leah being her tzara, and Rachel being her relative. Chana is certainly not a problem; she's even further away. So therefore, now he can do maybe even yibum, or certainly chalitza with either of the two of them, and therefore that covers the other one. So that would be what Shmuel means. So he's talking about where you began.
So the relative of tzara is mutar midrabanan. That's what you're saying, basically.
The relative of the tzara of the chalutza, right?
Of the chalutza. But the tzara of the relative is not.
Is also right. And that's the Gemara explains later on when we deal with this on Daf Mem. I know it takes after Halt Cup a little over here, but the idea is the Gemara says because we have to consider which ones are likely to be confused, which ones are likely to have gone to Beis Din together for the Chalitza. The woman and her sister, or a woman and her daughter, or whatever, are likely to go. A woman and her Tzara are less likely to go.
The Tzara is defined as what? By you.
So the co-wife, as we've been talking about throughout the Masechta. In our what? Diagrams, for example, as a co-wife, where two of them are married to the same man. In our diagrams over here, for example, Chana and Rachel at Tzaras, Leah and Esther at Tzaras, and so forth.
Okay.
Okay. So all that's one way of understanding Shmuel. So we can say another word. Yeah.
So we're worried about them going just to Chlitzpah, if they're going to go shopping together, or if even they go to Chlitzpah together, and the Rabbanim, the witnesses know who's who, why we worry?
Yeah, but it's not a matter of the Rabbanim and the witnesses knowing who's who. It's we want the general public has to know who's who. The general public is going to see that they went together to Beis Din, and Chalitza was done, and the general public doesn't know which one had Chalitza done, so therefore they don't know which one, they don't know clearly which one had Chalitza done. Later on, when they see her marrying her, later on, when they see him marrying her Tzara, they're going to think you're allowed to marry the Tzara of your Chalitza, which you're not, of course, because once you did Chalitza with one of them, then the other one is off limits to you.
I'm assuming that when you get Chalitza, the Bezin gives you a paper saying that you had Chalitza done properly.
That may well be, but they do. They give you a get Chalitza, but nevertheless, though, it's still the general public is not necessarily going to be aware of that. So therefore, the Chachamim have reason to be concerned about that. We'll talk about that in more detail on Daf Mem Bez Hashem. Okay, so anyway, so all of this...
Is a sister-in-law ever considered as a Tzara?
A sister-in-law, let's see, could a sister-in-law be a Tzara? Not initially. I mean, you could have later on, I guess, as a result of Yibum, maybe you could have sisters-in-law ending up being Tzaras, but not to begin with. No, because how would they be married to the same man?
Right, but after Yibum, yes.
Yibum, yeah. I mean, a classic case of Yibum. Reuben and Shimon are married to two wives, where their wives, therefore, are sisters-in-law. Now, if Reuben dies and Shimon does Yibum, then yeah, he's got two wives who formerly were sisters-in-law, sure.
They would be called Tzaras also.
They would also be called Tzaras. Anytime you have two women married to the same man, they're called Tzaras. And the reason for that is because they tend to be the word Tzara. I mean, literally, Tzara means trouble. And the reason is because often you find that that co-wives of the same man, they're rivals for their husband's affection. So they tend to cause trouble for each other. I mean, classic example you have is the example of Chana and Pnina, the wives of Elkanah, where we find in the Pesukim over there that every time they went to Shiloh, then Pnina would be harassing Chana. Okay, the Gemara says she was doing it L'shem Shemayim to get her to motivate her to daven more sincerely for a child, but still, yeah. Okay. There is, it reminds me actually, there's an expression someplace in the Gemara where that portrays a man has two wives, one is old, one is young. So the young one wants him to still look young, so every time she sees a white hair, she pulls it out. The old one wants him to look old like her, so every time she sees a black hair, she pulls it out. So between the two of them, he winds up bald. So all of that is one way of understanding Shmuel's statement over here. So we can say that after all, Shmuel's statement is predicated on the idea of Yesh Zika. We don't have to say like we did originally, that it's based on the idea Ein Zika. So we're saying though that what we're saying is we're not saying that both Tzaras necessarily are going to need Chalitza. We're saying if he did Chalitza to Leah first, then fine, that takes care of her and her Tzara, and then we only have to worry about the other side. But if he does Chalitza with Esther first, then not only Leah is Potter, but then also he's able later on to do Chalitza with either Rachel or Chana and Pater the other one because both of them have a strong Zika with him. Rav Ashi Yomar. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. La'olam kidka amrit. We can go back to the original explanation that it's not talking about where he started with, that was saying that if he does Chalitza to either one of the sisters, it doesn't Pater her Tzara. So what would that mean? So we asked before, if he does chalitza with Leah, what's wrong? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with the zika with her versus her tzara that we're saying it shouldn't pass to her tzara? But we could say so we could still answer that nevertheless, chalitza with either one of the sisters is a chalitza grua because again, each one is also to him on the grounds of being a choisik chosay, but. What we can say though is that zika is not strong enough to make the tzara be considered as an erva. In other words, our initial assumption earlier in the sugya was that just like his wife's sister, who is also to him daraisa, we say that's strong enough to pater her tzara as well, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. We assume that the same thing is true. If we say yesh zika, we assume the same thing is true of achoyz sikukosay. Rav Ashi is telling us not necessarily. Yes, achoyz sikukosay we treat as if it was achoyz sishtoy, therefore she's off limits to him, but not so strongly that we would say that it makes that her tzara is considered the tzara of an erva. So therefore, the zika with Chana and with Esther is stronger than it is with Rachel and with Leah. Therefore, back to our original understanding of Shmuel's statement. It is based on the idea yesh zika. But what we're saying, and what we're saying is, therefore, the chalitza that he would do with Leah or with Rachel is considered a chalitza psula because he can't do yibum with either one of them because of achoy sikukasei. Therefore, when he does chalitza with either one of them, it doesn't pater her tzara because her tzara has a stronger zika. She's the tzara of a choisik kukasei. Doesn't matter, says Rav Ashi. The tzara of a choisik kukasei is not considered is not considered off limits to him. So maybe he would be able to do yibum with those tzaras. But even if not, their zika is stronger than the zika of the two sisters. In effect, in other words, what Rav Ashi is saying is the Ritva typed out. The same Chachamim who made the rule of Achos Sikukosai, they also said that, on the other hand, that that's not strong enough to create a weaker Zika with the Tzores and make that the Tzores should be off limits as well. So the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei the Rav Ashi. In fact, we learn a Braisa like Rav Ashi's understanding. If he did chalitza to either one of the sisters, then the tzores are not potter, implying cholat tzores niftir achoyes. The implication being that if he did chalitza with either one of the tzores, then the sister who was the co-wife of that brother is also potter. My timer. Now, why would that be? Lav mishum b'kasava yesh zika. It must be based on what we just said, because the Tana of this Braisa holds yesh zika. V'loy alima zika l'shavuy l'tzara k'erva. But like Rav Ashi is saying, that is not that the zika is not strong enough to make that her tzara should be considered an erva. So therefore, that would be so. The Braisa would be saying exactly what Rav Ashi is saying, that if he does chalitza with Esther, then that's a stronger zika than it is with Leah. Therefore, pater is Leah. We don't say just because Leah is off limits to him, therefore her tzara is automatically off limits, and therefore the zika with either one of them is a weak zika. No, we would say the zika with Esther is a strong one. The zika with Leah is a weak one, and the same thing with Rachel and Chana, respectively. The Braisa hasn't spelled that out, but we seem to deduce that from the Braisa. So therefore, that would support what Rav Ashi is saying. However, the Gemara says, Omer of Abba ben Memel, not necessarily, because Homani Bes Shamayhi, you could answer just as well that this Braisa was according to Bes Shamay, the Tanan Bes Shamay Maturin Atzoris Lachin. After all, we had back in the first parak where Bes Shamay doesn't hold of the whole concept of Tzoras Erva anyway. So we could say, you know why Chana and Esther, according to this Braisa, are mutter to him, because according to Bes Shamay, even if Rachel was an actual erva to him, then Chana would still be required to do Yibum or Chalitza. And the same thing with Leah and Esther, respectively. So therefore, if we say this Braisa was according to Bes Shammai, then it doesn't prove anything about what Bes Hillel would hold and about what the Halacha is. So the Gemara asks, Sihochi Yabumi Nami Tisyabim. Well then, why is the Braisa speaking only in terms of Chalitza? Maybe it should be speaking in terms of Yibum as well. After all, according to Bes Shammai, whether Rachel or Leah are also to him, whether even if they themselves were actually Arayas Minatora, then Chana or Esther are actually still allowed to do Yibum with him. Because again, we said they don't hold the whole concept of Tzoras Erva. So then why is the Braisa focusing on Chalitza rather than on Yibum? And Tosfos says in Shmuel's din we focused on chalitza because we already know the din about tzora about kroivas tzoras chalutzase and chalutzas tzoras kroivoy and all that tzoras kroivas chalutzase or kroivas tzoras chalutzase. We know that from the Mishnah later on in the Masechta, and Shmuel is explaining how that impinges on our case over here. So therefore, we have no reason to mention Yibum. But the Braisa is not talking about any of that. So the Braisa should have at least mentioned Chalitza or Yibum. It should have said that something along the lines of the Braisa might have said Yibum l'achoyes lo niftiru tzoros or something like that. Yibum v'cholatz l'achoyes or something like that. The fact that it only mentions Chalitza seems to imply that our Braisa is saying you have to do Chalitza, not Yibum. So it can't be like this Shammai. The answer is it could. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. The answer is no. It could be like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, the Omar, where we learned in the first perek that he argued, given that we have this machlokes with Shammai ben Hillel about the tzoros, boyo unesakin lahem tzoros sheyucholtes v'loy nesiyamus. Come, let's make a takona that the tzoros should do chalitza and not yibum. And that way, we've covered all our bases because according to ben Hillel, there's no problem with them doing chalitza. They don't need chalitza according to Beis Hillel, but there's no problem doing it. According to Beis Shammai, chalitza will serve in place of Yibum. So that way you're covered according to everybody. So now this Braisa could be talking according to that. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The fact is they didn't make that takana. We learned in a Braisa there that they didn't have a chance to make this takana before the times went bad and they weren't able to because they had whether it was because of Roman persecution or whether it was something else, whatever, they never had a chance to assemble and make that takana. The answer is, fine, in Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's times they weren't able to, but at some later point, the Chachamim did in fact make that takana. And we should assume that that's the case. And the Braisa is referring according to that. But we're talking about, though, strictly according to Beis Hillel, where Chalitza is not necessary at all. Not necessarily does this Braisa support the idea that if we hold completely like Beis Hillel, that a tzara of an erva doesn't require Chalitza, that this Braisa should be bearing on that, because maybe this Braisa is talking only according to this compromise between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Tosfos says, because this that we said before in the Gemara, that this Rav Ashi's answer, the Gemara is considering Rav Ashi's answer, that there's a difference between the fact that the that there is a Zika, and on the other hand, that it's not strong enough to make the tzora be considered an erva. The Gemara considered that a bit of a doichik, and therefore the Gemara is trying every possible way to avoid having to say that, even if that means us saying that there's a that they made a takana which is unrecorded anywhere else except in this braisa. Okay. In any case, we have an explanation. We have a couple possible explanations of Shmuel's din over here. So his din is based on the idea of we're saying in the end that his din over here about the sisters and the tzoros is based on the idea that yesh zika. So one way of understanding it is we don't mean that both tzoros have a problem. We mean that if he started with Leah and patered her tzara, then there's no way to do only one more chalitza and pater the other and pater the wives of Reuven. He's going to have to do two chalitzas with them. And the other way we're saying is that either way, whether he begins with Leah or whichever sister he begins with, both tzaras are going to need chalitza. Whereas if he started with one of the tzaras, then he only needs one other yibum on the other side to take care of, and one other chalitza on the other side to take care of things. Okay, the Gemara says he boiled. So now we have another question. We said before in Shmuel's statement, we mentioned three possibilities. We said where there are sisters and tzoros, and then we mentioned the idea where he gave a get to one of the women to one of the two co-wives, one of the two tsareis, or where he gave a maimer to one of them. So we said in each of those cases, we said the one he gave a get to has thereby weakened the zika. So now if he does chalitza with her afterwards, that's not good enough. He needs to do chalitza with her tsara as well, but not the other way around. If he does chalitza with the tsara, then that takes care of the balas a get. Similarly, he said as far as maimer, if he does maimer with one of the women and later does chalitza with her, that's not enough to pater her tsara, but vice versa is fine. So now the question is, balas a get or balas maimer, ezman kademis. Which one, suppose you have, so let's say the brother died, he has two wives. Now let's say his brother, Shimon, gave a get to one of them and did a maimer to the other one. So now neither one can he, so now he can't do yibum with either one anymore, because having given a get to one of them, now we apply, so we learned previously in the Masechta, we learned, I think, in the previous perek, the idea that kiven shaloi bana shuv lo yivne. The pasuk says asher lo yivne es beis achiv, and we learn from that once he was not bona, then he can't be boina in the future, from which we learn that once he gave chalitza to once he did chalitza, then he can't marry her or any of her tzareis. By the same token, midrabanan, if he gave one of them a get, then the same thing would apply. So which one is kedemis? Which one should we say that he does chalitza with her and paters the other one? Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim discuss over here. What are we saying? Which one's zika is stronger, and therefore which one should he do chalitza with and pater the other? Or are we saying the other way around? Are we saying which one is stronger? Or which one is better to do? Which one has a stronger zika? Are we saying which one has a stronger zika and therefore better to do it with her? Or the other way around? Are we saying which one has a stronger zika and therefore she's not going to be pastored by the other one? So do we say balas a get that deformation to ask for chalitza? Do we say that maybe the one he gave the get to has the stronger position because he already began the process of chalitza with her? So therefore, that her zika is weaker than the other one, and therefore we could say maybe that if he does chalitza with her, then that's not good enough to pater the other one, or vice versa. We could say that it means therefore if he does chalitza with the other one, good enough to pater her. Or duma balas maimer adifa, or maybe the one who received the maimer is better, mishum dekreva labia, because she's closer to bia. Because after all, the normal procedure is that you do maimer and then you do bia for yibum. So which one has the position? Which one's zika is stronger? Or which one should he preferably do chalitza with? Amar Ravashi Toshma. Let's bring a proof from later in Amar Masechta. We're going to have the fifth perek of Amar Masechta is going to deal with. It's a short perek, but it deals in detail with all these permutations of mimer and get and so forth. So now the perek there starts off by saying that Ram Gamliel says, "Ain get acha get the ain mimer acha mimer," meaning like this. Rabbi Gamliel is telling us like this. Suppose that a man had two wives. Now, suppose that the brother did maimer with one and then gave a get to the other one. Let's start with the basic case. Suppose that there were two wives over there. So Reuben was married to two wives. Now he dies. Now, Rabbi Gamliel says, suppose that Shimon gives a get to one of them and then gives a get to the other one. So Rabbi Gamliel holds, ain get acha get. The second get does not, the second get has no effect. The first one had an effect to the extent that now he can't do yibum with her anymore. But Rabbi Gamliel says the second one has no effect. In the sense, it's as if he didn't give her a get, and therefore he can still go ahead and do yibum with her. And similarly, he says ein maimer acha maimer. By the same token, he says if he did maimer with one of the wives and then did maimer with the other one, then also the second maimer has no effect. But we're saying over here, umurder Rav Gamliel sheyesh get acha maimer umaimer acha get. Rabbi Gamliel does agree that that get and maimer are not interdependent, in the sense that if he gives a get to one and a maimer to the other, both of them have effect. Both of them have an effect. When he says ain't get achav get, really, he doesn't mean maybe that you'd be able to do yibum with the other one, because the fact is he already gave a get to the first one, you already have the problem of loy bana shuv lo yibne. But what it would mean in particular, Rabbi Gamliel would say he's not oster in the relatives of the second one he gave the get to, because she's not considered his grusha. Only the first one is considered his grusha midrabanan as a result of that get. And the same thing with the same similarly with maimer. So Rabbi Gamliel does agree though, she yesh get achav maimer or maimer achav get. He does agree that if he gave a maimer to one of them, and then he gave a get to the other one, or vice versa, then both of them are effective. So the first one, let's say, for example, that he did a maimer on one and a get to the other. So the get accomplishes that now both of them are also to him in Yibum, and it means that the second one to whom he gave the get, her relatives are going to be also to him just as if he had divorced her. So now e get odif loyli hani maimer abas, right? Now let's consider Rav Ashi is saying if the get was in our case over here in the Gemara, we're asking about precisely that kind of case where he did a get to one woman and a maimer to the other. So e get odif, if the get is stronger than the maimer, loy lehani maimer abasre, then by that logic, the maimer that he does to the other woman shouldn't be strong enough to accomplish anything. The e maimer odif loy lehani get abasre, and vice versa. If maimer is stronger, then the get shouldn't be, that the get after it shouldn't be effective. El olav shmamino ki hadadin yinu. Obviously, they must both be on an equal level. So the answer would be they're on an equal level, which would mean, therefore, so Rashi says that it means each one will pass to the other one. They both have a weak zika anyway. So therefore, he can do chalitza with either one of them and will pass to the other one. So Tosfos points out that actually that would only work according to that would only work that, that this relates to the previous sugya about when we said that when we talked about the case where this chalitza psula. And Shmuel says it doesn't matter. You can do even a chalitza psula, and one brother does it to all of them. It's good enough. Then the same thing would apply over here, that he does chalitza to one of them, it passes the other. If we go according to the other lashon in the Gemara over there, then we would say actually that over here both of them would in fact require chalitza separately. And I think the Rambam passed it that way. That it means that he does chalitza with either one of them first, but he still has to do chalitza with the other one as well. So Shramina, so that proves it. Another din, Omer of Huna Omer Rav, Beis Achoyes Yevomus Shenoflu Lifnei Yavam Echad. You have two sisters who are Yevomus, who now are up for Yibum in front of one Yavam. So these two wives are in other words, the same cases we've been talking about, or similar cases we've been talking about all this time, where there were three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon were married to sisters. They died, and Levi now has to do Yibum with one or the other. Now he can't do Yibum with either one of them on the grounds that each one of them is a chos kukosai. So cholak for Rishona Hutra. So now the fact is each one is going to need her own chalitza or her own yibum, because they're from shnei batim. They're from two different. They're from two different husbands. So each one has their own chiyuv. But cholak for Rishona Hutra. So now when he does chalitza to the first one, then that's matter her. Tosfos points out that means, now we said before that Rav holds ein zika. So that would mean not only she's potter, also her tzara would be mutter. Cholat l'shniya hutra. Now, if he does chalitza to the second one, she's also mutter. Fine. Mesa rishonim mutter b'shniya. Now, here's a twist where the first sister the first sister dies, and we know a wife's sister is only usher as long as a wife's sister is only usher as long as the wife or ex-wife is alive. So now, if the first one dies, meaning the first one who was up for Yibum, if she dies, Mutter B'Shniyah, then he's allowed to even do Yibum with the second one. The Ein Tzarich Lamed Meis HaShniyah Shemutter B'Rishona. Needless to say, if the second one died, then the first one is Mutter. Mishum Dehavya Yivama Shehutra V'Nesra V'Chazer V'Chazer V'Hutra. Because the case is, she was Mutter originally. Because let's consider the first one. When Reuven died, and let's say Shimon was still alive, then at that point, his wife is Mutter for Yibum. Then after, there's no problem of her sister being his Yivama, because she's not yet. Shimon is still alive. So now she was Mutter. Then she became Osu when Shimon died, because now we have the problem that each one of them is a Chosikul Kosei. But now she's Mutter again because her sister died. And now even if he'd been married to her, he'd be allowed to marry her sister. So now she's Mutter again. Tachsula Teira Rishon. So Rav Huna is telling us in the name of Rab that she goes back to her original Heter, and now he's allowed to do Yibum with her just as he would have originally. But Rabbi Yechanan says it's not so simple. Fine, I agree that if the second one died, then he's allowed to do Yibum with the first one who came up for Yibum. So within Rav's opinion, Rashi explains like this. First of all, when we say Mesa Rishona, obviously we're talking about over here where he didn't do Chalitza yet. Because if he did Chalitza, then you have a different problem of Achoitz Chalitza. So we're talking about that Reuven died before Shimon had a chance to do anything with his wife, Yibum or Chalitza. She died. So now, when Shimon dies, then he's allowed to do Yibum with Shimon's wife. So again, the reason is because as soon as one of them dies, then the Zika with her goes away. And therefore the other one is Mutter. So now Rashi explains that in the previous perek we had something we were discussing. We were discussing the question of yesh zikah or ain zikah, and we said that when we said that there's cases where a woman was also to him at the time of nephila, at the time when yibum, when she becomes up for Yibum or Chalitza, so then when she was also, she never becomes Mutter again. But over here, Rashi says, our Gemara disagrees with that Gemara over there. There we said that if she was also to him at the time of Nephila, then she never becomes Mutter. Our Gemara would be disagreeing with that and saying that she is Mutter because the impediment that made her also for Yibum, namely that she had a sister who was also Schuka, is now removed because now her sister is gone. But Rabbi Yechanan says no. Meisa Shniya Mutter B'Rishona. If the second one who came up for Yibum died, Mutter B'Rishona, then fine, he's allowed to marry the first one because at the time of her Nephila, she was suitable for him. Because again, when Reuven died, his wife was available for Yibum. There was no impediment to that until Shimon died. But But Rabbi Yechanan says the other way around. If Reuven's wife dies first, then he still can't do Yibum with Shimon's wife because my timer, Shekol Yavama, She'ena Nikorba, Mashas Nephila, Yavama, Yavai Aleha, because whenever you have, you can't do Yibum at the time of Nephila, at the time when her husband died, then it's the equivalent of a brother's wife where she has children, where of course she's also because then there's no Yibum. So in our case, when Reuven died, if Reuven died first, then his wife is up for Yibum and there's no impediment to it at all because Shimon is still married to his wife, her sister. So therefore, at the time of Nephila, then Reuven's wife was Mutter. Later on, Shimon dies, and now his wife becomes off limits because of Achos Sikukosai. But fine, once Shimon's wife dies, then we're back to the original scenario. So Rabbi Yechanan says, fine, that I have no problem with. But if it's the other way around, if when Reuven died and his wife is up for Yibum, and then Shimon dies and his wife is up for Yibum, the moment that happens, that wife, Shimon's wife is already, the moment Nephila happens, she's also because of Achos Sikukosai. The fact that later on, that that sister, Reuben's wife, dies. Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't help us any, because at the time of Nefila, she was not available. So the Gemara says, but Rav, let's say hi, Svara. So you're telling me that Rav doesn't agree with that concept? Rav uses the exact same expression as Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, Tosfos says there's a Mishnah later on in our parak that seems to imply this. But Rav was saying, you know, we're saying not only that, Rav at least, we're saying Rav is actually using the same exact expression as Rabbi Yochanan. So how can he possibly be disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan? The answer is, Rav would say, Rav would say there's a difference. The Mishnah later on is talking about where, and the case that Rav himself is talking about is where the blocker for her doing Yibum is the fact that she's an Achos Isha Daraisa. Where, in other words, where at the time of Nefila, so let's say, for example, Shimon was married to a sister of one of these women. Then the moment that, so when Reuben dies right away, then that Yuvama is also to him midaraisa as a choisishtoi. And therefore, even if later on Shimon's wife dies, that doesn't make it mutter for him to do Yibum with Reuben's wife, who is also his wife's sister. Because at the time of Nefila, she wasn't available for Yibum and on a daraisa level. But here we're only talking that she's a choisikokosai, not a choisikokosai. So it's only dirabanan. So Rav says in that case that doesn't apply, and therefore the fact that now she died, that removes that zika, and therefore there's no problem. So the Gemara says esved of Yosi bar Chanina lo Rav Yochanan. So now, okay, so Rav Yochanan is saying that it makes a difference which one of them died, in the sense that we have to look at. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the impediment was only Dirabanan, then that also prevents Yibum from happening. So Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina asks him, we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, Arba'a Achin, you have four brothers, Beis Mehem Nesuin Beis Achoyis, two of them were married to two brothers, Umesu and Nesuin Es Achoyis, the two brothers who were married to the sisters died, Harei Lecholtis Vele Mesiamis. So we said they have to do chalitza, not yibum, because the problem is each one is a chos sikokase. Well, va'amai. So Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina says, by your logic, leku chadminai, lachos l'lishnia, let one of them go and do chalitza with the second one who became an almana. So in our example over there, we had the two brothers Reuben and Shimon were. Reuben and Shimon were married to the two sisters. Let's go back to diagram 138. So Reuben and Shimon were married to the two sisters. So we're saying that Levi and Yehuda, the problem is each one of them, the women are zikukase, but they're also achos zikukase. So now Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina is saying, by your logic, Rabbi Yochanan, what should we do? Have one of them do chalitza with the one who was widowed second. So let's say Reuben died first, then Shimon. So let one of them do chalitza with Leah. Then what's going to happen? So what are we saying? When Reuben died, then his wife was available for Yibum. After that, Shimon died, and then his wife is no longer available, and then neither one is available for Yibum because Achos Sikokase. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, if one of them dies, then the other one becomes mutter. Well, by the same logic, if you do chalitza to one of them, the other one should be mutter. So let Levi or Yehuda do chalitza with Leah, and then Rachel will go back to being mutter. She was mutter, then she became osir, now she's mutter again. Now, the question, on the face of it, the question could be according to Rav as well. And Rashi, in fact, says that Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina's question is not only to Rabbi Yochanan, because he's speaking to Rabbi Yochanan, but in fact, Rashi says the question is on Rav as well. Tosfos says not necessarily, because Tosfos explains that Rav, we learned before, says that chalitza psula each of the brothers has to do. In this case, it would be a chalitza psula because, again, you can't do yibum with either one of them, and according to Rav, therefore, it's not enough for Leah to do chalitza with Levi, she also has to do it with Yehuda. So therefore, so once both of them have done chalitza with her, obviously then Rachel is going to be achos chalutzasa, and that's going to be a problem. So therefore, Tosfos says the question is not on Rav. The question is strictly on Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan holds that ein etzricha lachzer. We learned before that Shmuel says even a chalitza psula is fine, and you don't need to go circulate around all the brothers. So now the question is on Rabbi Yechanan. So why are we saying that both sisters chalitzas below Mesiamas? Why can't we say Rachel would have been mutter in Yibum before Shimon died and left Leah a widow? Because at that point, because while Shimon was alive, then there's no problem. Rachel is obviously not achos zukukase, because Leah is not zukul to anybody. So either one of them, Levi or Yehuda, could have done Yibum with her at that point. Now instead, Shimon died. Leah is up for Yibum as well. Now we're saying they're also, but if they do chalitza to Leah, then that brings things back to the original state. Amalei, and Rabbi Yechanan says, as a matter of fact, Achoyes in Yedem Mishnan. As a matter of fact, that Mishnah about the sisters, I don't know who taught it. In other words, Rashi says, Zu ain't a Mishnah. I can't accept that is a valid Mishnah. There must be a mistake in that Mishnah, because it's not possible to say we can't make it work according to any of the opinions that we've discussed, which we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and talk about why Rabbi Yechanan is saying that. It's a very strong thing. For Rabbi Yechanan to be saying that a Mishnah is mistaken, but we're going to go through in the Gemara tomorrow and show how Rabbi Yechanan is saying there's no alternative but to say that there must be a mistake in this Mishnah, because it can't possibly be correct al pi halacha. In fact, we are going to have later on, by the way, we're going to have also tomorrow, that when we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer had brought a machlokes with Shammai b'Hillel, we're going to say actually that we actually have to flip it around, what Beis Shammai holds and what Beis Hillel holds. So we'll see that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. But maybe also for that reason, Rabbi Yechanan felt that if there's one part of this Mishnah already that seems to have a problem with it, maybe he said that there's a different part that also could. In any case, he's saying that I can't accept that that's correct al pi halacha, because the fact is, it's true, logically, it should be that once Leah has chalitza, then Rachel should be mutter again. Why are we saying that both of them chalitzas v'lo misyamas? So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and see why Rabbi Yechanan is saying that.